Benvenuti in Da David Lee Roth, Zen e l'arte della risata. Welcome to David Lee Roth, Zen and the art of laughing last.
Roth Radio, David Lee Roth, live worldwide. It's kind of a holiday here. It's sort of like Home Alone Part 2, huh? You're going to run around. Let's go up to Tom Gisano's office, man. I mean, I'm going to put a big thing on the door that says Happy Easter and put eggs in his shoes, man. Let's see. Play a little guitar one time. That's it. Public service announcement here coming off of page six. First thing on the Monday morning, rocker turned TV host Henry Rollins is being investigated by the Australian government for reading. I forgot to finish the article. Maybe I didn't. Sounds better that way. What do you think, Animal? Henry was a great interview. He was here the other night. And we talked about this here. I'm referring to something brand new. It says, this comes from page six, Monday morning. Jihad, the rise of militant Islam of Central Asia. He was reading it on a recent flight to Brisbane. And the passenger sitting next to the hulking, heavily tattooed host of IFC's The Henry Rollins Show apparently got nervous when he saw Rollins reading a book about Islamic fundamentalist contacted authorities. Okay. Come on, Henry. Wake up, man. Evidently, the incident happened on a flight from Auckland on the recent Big Day Out tour, and Rollins told Australian fans during his tour that he received a letter from a nice woman who worked in one of those government areas that deals with anti-terrorism matters. He posted the letter on his website. This is Henry Rollins, a good friend here, and we had Henry on the show just a few days ago. We're not afraid of the good stuff. Henry's pro, world class. It's heavy lifting when you interview somebody like Henry Rollins, right? And he relayed this story to us here. And evidently he's on a suspicious persons list or whatever because he was reading the book Jihad, The Rise of Militant Islam in Central Asia. And he posted the letter on his website here. It said, please tell your government and everyone in your office to go F themselves. Baghdad is safer than my hometown, and your prime minister is a sissy. Love, Henry Rollins. Anyway, the emails are pouring in. Sparks, Nevada, Johnston, Rhode Island, Newcastle, England's tuned in, Orlando, Florida, Sweden, Alexandria, Virginia, Edinburgh, Scotland. I don't know if I get on a plane to any of these places reading something that said jihad. Seriously. especially with this cartoon issue that's going on out there. You've got riots now in Indonesia. You've got all kinds of nonsense happening. I believe it's in Pakistan or India, somewhere in that general area. You know, they're fighting over what's happening in Denmark. I think somebody else just got fired for making a comment. Oh, the Italian, there was an Italian diplomat. I think it was from an embassy or something. And he wore a T-shirt that had a picture of the, you know, whatever, the mullah or whatever, with the bomb on his head. And he just had to quit because it caused another riot right there. So, you know, okay, I don't know if Henry's thinking out loud. Obviously, Henry's one of our great thinkers. That's what I would expect Henry to read. You know, you got to learn both sides of the coin, right? But I don't know if you would get on an airplane in this day and age. You'd be better off getting on with an ice pick. No, with the way they search you at the airports half the time, those people are just on paychecks. You know, they don't, you know, it's, you're more likely to get an ice pick through the metal detectors and not have anybody comment. You could stop over at the, thank God it's Fridays, you know, make your own snow cone and people won't blink. I've seen the thing where Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel pretended like they were pilots on The Man Show and they acted like they were drunks and they both, excuse me. It's a great weekend. And they had like big pints, like, you know, in the UK, you know, where you have the full pint of Guinness and whatever. And they had pilot outfits on, you know, with the hat and the tunic and the suit. And they just wandered around in the baggage area and the check through area and the waiting area like a couple of drunks, spilling beer on each other, you know, and trying to read a map outside the check in area. And nobody said a thing. Nobody said a thing. So Henry Rollins gets on. Right away, he looks like he's on a jihad, doesn't he? It's like in the movie, what is the puppet movie? What's the name of that movie? The puppet movie that the fellas from South Park.
Team America.
Sasha.
I know my stuff.
How are you, Sash?
I'm good, Dave. How are you?
Extraordinary, darling. Good. Did you like the Team America movie?
I did. I liked it a lot.
Okay.
It was very funny.
And to remember when the guy says, I'll put a jihad on you. Henry looks like it says that already. Even if you didn't know what a jihad was, you could pretty safely assume Henry could put one on you. You know that it's, like, bad for you. Well, I saw a thing on... I was watching television the other night, and I saw... it was cable TV, actually. We were watching some videos and something, and they were talking... Oh, it was the military channel. And they were talking about some guys with a certain kind of bullets. I memorized the name of it. They're called SWAT Team Frangible SWAT Loads. I have no idea what it does, but I know that I should buy 3 boxes, man. Actually, I'll never need another bullet now that I've seen Animal practicing kung fu in the other room there.
Oh, that's a secret, day. Don't tell nobody. I think I got 2 left feet. Let's keep it that way.
No, I've never seen a 400-pound guy. I've never seen a 400-pound praying mantis.
Oh, you see one now.
Hold, turn his voice up there. What's Animal, how long have you been doing kung fu?
About 15 years. When I became a professional bodyguard, I wanted to, you know, had a little extra touch and stuff. So I started training about 1990.
Because you've got the moves in there. You've got the flow. You don't look like you weigh 400 anything, man.
Hey, I move like X-Lax, baby.
Smooth moves, X-Lax.
Yeah.
Flow like a butterfly.
Sting like a bee.
Sting like a B-52. Anyways. I wonder if they're going to let Henry Rollins back in Australia. You know they have to. Come on, he's a national icon. He's like a living national treasure at this point now. You can't. If you have difficulties with making a cartoon and it's going to cause riots and you're going to make changes and you're going to be accepting and allowing of things because of that, how can you refuse one guy for an opinion here? He's the guy who's supporting the other point of view. He's the opposite of the cartoon. He's the one trying to educate himself. So now, okay, I understand why he's suspicious, but do you think they probably keep him out of the country?
Well, if they don't keep him out of the country, they definitely going to be watching him the whole time he's there. You know, them Darth Vader guys will probably show up everywhere he goes.
Are you forbidden? Are you prohibited from going to any particular country's animal? Are you,
probably Amsterdam.
Why in Amsterdam? That's interesting, because they're in the news.
I got in a big fight over there in a club one night.
Oh, really? On account of what? Who were you working with at the time?
I was working with Slash.
Were you working with Slash's Snake Pit or the Guns N' Roses?
Slash's Snake Pit.
And when was this? This was a couple years ago.
This was like 99 or something. The lead singer, we went in this bar and he was acting kind of crazy, but you know, I had to have his bag. And then one thing led to another, and then a big riot happened, and then we just hit the dough and we was gone, you know. But
well, hey, let's play the soundtrack, man. Go ahead.
Yeah.
In fact, the red light district is open here for an open house, and we're talking about Amsterdam. It's funny that you would bring that up.
Oh, my favorite stomping ground.
Well, dig it. There may no be such thing as a free lunch, it says, but occasionally there's a cheap feast for the eyes. Evidently, the red light district, which is really famous in Holland, is like coming under the usual political crackdown, and they're hoping to, you know, close the place up, evidently. So they're having a open house.
Can we book a flight? Dave.
we should. Be Young, you've played with us. Have you played with us in Holland? Have you made it that far yet?
No, that was just before I joined.
Okay, because we've been there a bunch of times. You know, and the Van Halens come from Holland. They speak fluent Dutch, or they used to. And evidently on February 18th, hoping to shore up their reputation with local politicians, it's open, and the spokesman for the Banana Bar, which is one of the most famous, it's known for its live sex shows, and they're saying that prostitution in Amsterdam boomed during the city's 17th century golden age, when prostitutes catered to sailors on the shore leave. Let me cut to the crash here, is that Holland doesn't have a whole lot of its own natural resources. There's no redwood forest trees there. There's no giant granite rock quarries. You know, there's no natural oils coming out of the dirt or whatever. So it's a port trade. Okay, everywhere that you're traveling across the world, especially for, you know, Europe and whatever, that's where you'll do your trading. And that's where Napoleon's guys hoarded up on the weekends. That's where the Beatles learned to play that, and the red light district in, I think it was Hamburg, or the Reeperbahn, right? And I played there. I've played at the Star Club, where the Beatles played. Those are the places routinely where all the new young talent starts, because you're going to be working on the real cheap. That's the places that's going to take a chance, because they've got other entertainment going on, right? You've got sex shows, you've got partying, you've got music, etc. And they'll take a chance because they have a lot of other forms of income in those parts of the world. That's why routinely you'll see bands like the Stones, Van Halen, etc., that we would play all those kinds of places. I'm wondering if we could ever have a place like that in the United States. What do you think, Sash? You're 21. What do you think? What's your voter bloc going to say?
Definitely not.
Definitely not?
We wouldn't know how to handle it. Okay. We've been so repressed for so long, there's no way.
You don't think so?
I would love it, but there's no way it would happen.
I agree with you. I don't think there's any. I brought up, I got in a lot of trouble, for a matter of fact, about bringing up for Ground Zero, which is back in the news as well. Have you seen on New York One? The doctors are starting to weigh in that there's a whole lot of inhaled problems going on down there, and that, in fact, the EPA may be reversing its position that it's all safe to be down there. And, you know, I've maintained, hey, there's a half-life on that kind of inhaled problem, okay? Whatever's in the dirt, whatever impregnated into the walls down there, you have a whole building down at Ground Zero that is wrapped up like a big bag. It's like a giant condom. And inside is all of the infection and all the problems, you know, that were airborne. They don't know what to do with it. And now I just saw in New York One last night that doctors are now coming back with reports. But I had raised the issue. I said, you know what? If it's in fact a dangerous, but it's not 110% dangerous, let's give it to Sasha and all her friends. You're young enough, you're flexible enough to throw that stuff off. Your immune system is way better than Hutch's.
Oh, yeah. Anybody's.
I'm telling you, seriously. And that go ahead and create a whole new town down there. Make your make a monument, a memorial right in the middle of it, as big as you need to, and then create a whole nother city.
And I don't know that it necessarily has to be a red light district, but think in terms of what also exists in the red light district in Holland. That's where all your new young artists live because it's the cheapest. That's where all the new architects, actors, actresses, everybody studying political science, city planning, even your new insurance adjusters all move down into that part because it's cheap, because like it's Lower East Side here in the city, all right? And it's, you can get 5-6 people crammed into a place. There's a lot of cheap bars and cheap food, you follow, that goes in its way. And that's where you're going to start to put your daycare centers, your military housing for your families, the hospitals for all those guys and gals in uniform. The police school goes right next to the visual arts school, which goes next to the cinematography school, which goes to the Quentin Tarantino Theater. Okay? And I got a lot of grief for suggesting that there. And now I see that they're trying to close down Red Light District in Holland. And I'm wondering what's going to happen now that I see that there's breathing problems down at G0. Tune in on New York One. I saw this last night. I wouldn't bring it up again unless, boom, it's there. You know what might be interesting? Is my cousin Jack, who's just a couple summers older than I, is a thoracic surgeon. He's in charge of the whole Roth Cancer Institute down at Anderson University in Houston. I believe it's the biggest cancer institute in the world. And it's funny, Jack was always the geek. Jack's not a geek anymore. Hasn't been in a lot of years. I'm the one who has to get up at 4 in the morning. Don't even think it, man. Anyways, I think we'll give Jack a call and see what he thinks about what's going on down there. Because I maintain that whatever fell into the dirt is still a lot of it there. You can't just vacuum it up. Anybody who's ever worked in a bar knows that you don't just erase last night like that. No, seriously. And I'm not making fun of the issue there. I'd say this with all due respect or whatever. And if it's as difficult down there as I think it probably is, let's give it to Sasha. Give it to everybody who's about to graduate from Fordham. Give it to everybody who has an immune system and a tough, ambitious attitude. You're not going to live there for the rest of your life. And out of that kind of a community would come the next president. We'll come the next bunch of Congress people. We'll come the next NFL players, the next general, the next cure for cancer, because that's where everybody ambitious and with imagination would want to move. I've been to the red light district, allegedly, in Amsterdam a number of times, and that's what you see. It's all, when you think of red light district, you think old school. Well, that's what I was hoping for. You know, somebody who looks like Sasha, wearing a beret, you know, with the split skirt and the fishnet stockings and smoking a cigarette, you know, 1962 France style, right? And she is there. She's nowhere near as good as you, darling. But
I can wear that for you. I can come in.
We'll talk. We'll talk. What you have in the red light district in Amsterdam is all college. It's like a spring break issue completely. And since New York attitude and California sunglasses with the little string rule the day worldwide, you'll feel completely at home when you're there. Even though the languages are all Norwegian, German, British accent, Ruska, you know, etc. Nah, it looks just like Southern California. It's like the city walk over at Universal, right? Everybody's got board shorts. Everybody's wearing Teva sandals, okay? Everybody's got Oakley sunglasses, you know, the mirror kind. And then you got a string to hold them on, the neoprene kind, to show waterborneness, that you are waterborne, right? And you got to have like a tropical shirt, you know, something that is vaguely surf-oriented, as I am. And this is what it looks like over there. So, you know, you're thinking in terms of, you know, people who look vaguely like old Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin types, you know, sneaking around in raincoats or whatever. Hold on.
Where's my raincoat, animal?
David Lee Roth, the 92.3 Free FM.
Anatawa, David Lee Roth, Jutsunagatimas, Vekatsuru Kakugoa Dekiteru, Dokujino, Roth Direct.
Oh.
Roth Radio. David Lee Roth here, worldwide. A lot of worldwide. Every time we show up, now the emails are waiting before we get here. It's like a Star Wars opening. Speaking of Star Wars, we were talking about when we bring in an instrument or a two or an extra amp or something here, because that's B. Young in the background there, who is playing along there a little bit there. So. So we call this track blasting, and usually he doesn't know what's coming up. Stump the guitar player. And now he's done so well with this. What we do, all of these loops are my personal gear from home. Okay, well, wherever home, wherever my sleeping bag is, that's home. Sasha's looking at me like, home? He has one? Sasha, if I follow you home, will you keep me this time?
I will keep you.
Love it. Anyway, B. Young plays in the background there. Actually, it's not the background. He's part of the track. We call it track blasting. And we never tell him what exactly is coming up. So it's like a contest. Keeps everybody awake, all right? It keeps you, like, really on your toes. If you don't know what the key of the next tune is, if you don't know what the groove is, because as you see, we do everything from, you know, thug rock to funk pop to hip-hop to country, you know, jam. So you've got to kind of know your way around here. We have a huge array of guitars that reach halfway around the studio here. They're all set on stun. Everything from, they're judged by weight, okay? It starts with the ukulele and works its way up to what he's packing right now. This is a 6-gun guitar here, and I bring these loops in every day, and he has no idea, you know, what's going on. It's very cramped in this studio. All right, we opted for a very little space here. You know, the old Stern space has half a dozen other people and a whole lot of rigmarole going on over there, and everybody's kind of cramped in. And Hutch said earlier, Dave, what if we brought in a keyboard? Where would we put it? And I said, well, you got to think space shuttle. That if you think space shuttle, then it's all kind of cool. Everybody's kind of bumper to bumper, and all the gear is piled up around each other. That's what Roth Radio is. If you were wondering where we're broadcasting from, it looks like the space shuttle in there. Hey, where'd Yuri go?
Yuri!
Damn Russians. They're always upstairs listening to music. Anyways, here's a good one for you. This comes from Entertainment Weekly here. Now that INXS has a new singer, CBS recently renewed Rockstar on season 2. And they talk about some of the potentials here. They brought this up for Van Halen. It said the vacancy. David Lee Roth, Sammy Hagar, Gary Cherone quit, were fired from, or otherwise parted ways with the band. And the pros they address here, they say the possibility of witnessing a buttless Shapsoff. Well, you know, I got this gig because I look a lot better than Al Franken does in buttless Shaps. Oh, yeah. And we could have it says the possibility of witnessing a buttless Shaps off. I wouldn't want to see Sammy Hagar in those. No, that's an eyesore.
Yeah, no, vomit, no. Man.
You might have to use that kung fu, huh? It says the chance for Roth, Hagar, and Cherone to compete for their old jobs. Okay, that could be interesting. And then it says, contestants gushing about how lyrics like, here's some of Sammy Hagar's lyrics. Let me get on, let me get on, let me get on all that, so I love my baby's pound cake. And here's another Sammy Hagar lyric. I don't know. They realize if these are Sammy's lyrics, but they are. And the elimination line is going to be, we're going to finish what you started. With somebody else. Wait a minute. It goes on. Hey, that was a good stop. We could take this to Vegas like that. Did you? If you could drive like that, you could win at NASCAR. Did you hear that? Go ahead. Take it again. Here we see. Perfect. On a dime. He landed that on a dime. Anyway. Blind Melon, vacancy. Singer Shannon Hoon died of a drug overdose in 1995. Okay. Pros. The odds of a successful second coming are actually pretty decent. The retrofitted band would need only one hit to match the previous incarnation's total. Okay. And this would be the 98th time that a contestant must sing No Rain. It may result in acoustic trauma to viewers. Were you a Blind Melon fan, Sash?
I like No Rain, yeah.
You like? Well, let's see, that's the only song
that's
that
the only
they,
hit that they had.
That's the only one.
Yeah.
That's a medley of a hit. that qualifies as a career today, doesn't it?
Yeah, I used to hang out with Shannon. He was really a crazy dude, man.
Where did you? This animal? It's
Cat
Animal's House.
Hey. Ricky Ratman introduced me to him back in the day. They used to hang out. Then he did a song with Guns N' Roses. I think it was called "Don't Cry" or something like that.
Okay.
And every time they get ready to perform, he was just too effed up to perform, man. Like down at the I can't think of the name of the show, but anyway, he was too messed up to perform.
Hold on. Was this a television show?
It wasn't televised. It was in L.A.
Okay, but there was a live gig that he was going to be part of or something?
Yeah.
And he was too freaked up, huh?
Yeah, but he was my boy, though, man. I went to my first ecstasy party was at his house, man.
Oh, really?
But I didn't mess with no ecstasy, though.
How much ecstasy would it take to get you high?
About 5 pills.
Because what did Shannon Hoon die from?
It was a drug overdose. But anyway, like Ricky was trying to get me to be.
Well,
his
wait
bodyguard.
A minute. Wait a minute. They say that he choked on his own vomit, and it was never conclusively demonstrated that was his vomit.
I know. Well, they found him on the tour bus. You know, he was in the tour bus. He sneaked off by himself. You know, and he had moved to North Carolina to get away from drugs. But hey, he found it there too. You know,
so. I got to imagine that North Carolina is having. What towns do we go? Myrtle Beach, and that isn't that North Carolina? That's South Carolina? Well, it's not a far swim. I can't imagine that there's any city where if you're desperate for getting high or whatever, that you can't go ahead and find tragedy, right?
Yes, right.
How old a kid was he?
He was probably about 27 or 25, something
Ouch.
Like that. He was
Ouch.
Real young. He was real cool. I'm talking about the girls just loved him. Everywhere he go, girls just drew to him like a magnet, man.
Yeah, well, he had a really sweet voice.
Yes,
he had a real that real even kind of disposition.
Yeah.
He kind of a hippie thing.
I like
that
crazy laugh he had.
And how many records did they actually make? Like, one record?
I think just one. Yeah.
I
think just one. Because the video I saw, it was like this girl running around in a bee suit, and everybody was like dissing her. Then all of a sudden, she found the big form, a big feel of bees just like her.
Okay, well, I think everybody remembers the bee girl, because check it out here. Coming from Entertainment Weekly, they're talking about Midnight Oil also has a vacancy, okay, of their singers and stuff. And let me read this. Lead vocalist Pete Garrett left in 2002 to take up challenges outside music. The pros of this reunion would be replacing Garrett, a bald 6'4" political activist animal. You have a chance.
Hey.
Could lend itself to one hell of a colorful contestant pool. The cons against it are see Blind Melon's con, but substitute Beds Are Burning and subtract the Bee Girl. Okay. you kind of have to know the players.
Video, yeah.
The Bee Girl. Did she ever grow up and develop a drug problem? I would because that's the kind of one-shot stardom that, you know, it infects. It doesn't protect, you know. She experienced the spotlight there. And I'm wondering what the B-girl went on to become. Sasha, you're laughing giddily
it's
here.
It's very funny. I want to know what the B-girl's on to do today.
I wonder. Is she like, oh, is she
any
like,
more videos or?
It's probably something really boring, but I'm praying for something really tawdry and escapist here, man.
Yeah, babe.
I'm wondering who actually is going to do the reunion. Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be a reunion. I guess it does.
Yeah.
I'm answering my own questions here. I'm a little schizophrenic. That makes six of us. Order me 6 cup of coffees for each of us. But to do the rock star thing, it has to be a reunion. No, they're not creating a whole new band. It has to be a familiar act that everybody knows already. The tunes have to be familiar, right? So who could that potentially possibly even be? They must have somebody in mind. Van Halen released a missive just the other day after we went off and said, hey, I think it probably could be. They've made every other mistake in the book. Eddie Van Halen has never missed an opportunity to miss an opportunity in the last 14 summers here. That's a band that can't get out of its own way. Unless it's with Roth. They're not currently with Roth. So where do you go from here? And they may make that kind of a move, but they released a thing that said, no, in fact, that was not going to be them. You think it might be Queen? you know, they've got this one album with, you know, the fella from Free, Paul Raji, great singer, but I don't know if it's appropriate to that kind of, what do you call what Queen does? Do you still call that art rock? Do you call that fusion? What is that? That's big rock, man. That comes from 19 different influences. You can't just pick up a blues singer. You can't just pick up any old hard rock dude, you know? It's gotta be something more somehow, like Lowenbrow. Yeah. Riff and Roth Radio, David Lee Roth, New York, Philadelphia, Dallas, Boston. Talking to you, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, also West Palm Beach. You know what? There's not a whole lot of news today, so we're just going to read the whole lot of not news.
Hey, Dave, I said let's put Prince in Blind Melon, and we'll put
Stop
Axel.
Right there. That's a very good idea. That's an amazing idea, because he's got that kind of airy voice.
Yeah.
He fits in there. He's not a soul growler. He can, but he's definitely not one
of
those.
He's got that high-pitched voice.
Yeah, that's a real good ear you got there. Prince going with Blind Melon. That's a great idea. Yeah. Give us a call if you guys got any ideas, or if you even care. 866-313-3733. The David Lee Roth Show .com. We're the bomb. That's a great idea. Because Prince has that. He's got that kind of vibe, huh?
Yes, he does. I think he would fit in perfect.
Little Red Corvette.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mornings. David Lee Roth on 92.3 Free FM.
David Lee Roth. 一个高速度的电台。David Lee Roth, High Speed Radio, Radio Roth.
Don't forget, 9 o'clock coming up. David Lee Roth here. I've got a very, very special guest. Her name is Elizabeth Haight. She's here very, very frequently. She's our favorite guest of all. Elizabeth is the New York Post relationship columnist. I know, you never thought you'd hear the word relationship in the same sentence with my name. And you never will, Sasha. But Elizabeth is coming in at 9 o'clock today, and she's going to be discussing today's column context, which is about bad breath. I know, seems small until you're stuck in the space shuttle next to somebody with Godzilla, Hogzilla breath. Hogzilla. Okay. Let me say it right here. Hogzilla. That's right. I got a lap dance from Hogzilla the other night. Because I have a problem, too, with perfume, cologne, aftershave, hair oil, hair conditioner.
Everything.
Think about all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
We routinely have to ask people, because we work in these little tiny environments. It's like a spaceship in here. And routinely people come in just marinating. it's like a cloud, like an aura. You know how most people, like Sasha, you know, you have an aura that's kind of gentle and feminine, and it's kind of like warm sunlight, right? And some people come in here with an aura like a burning tire. So what do you say to somebody who's got bad breath? It's tough enough if somebody's got food in their teeth. Have you ever, you experienced this?
Dave, I experienced it all the time as a doorman. Guys be coming in. Yo, what's that? I said, hold up, homie. Hold up, dog. Get back, man. You need to go take care of that simple chronic halitosis. That's what I call it, man. Like, I be like, how can you get a girl in your breath like that? And I be like, hold up, here's some gum, man. He said, what's this for? Hey, man, I'm just helping you out, bro.
That's true. You got to say something.
And I'm always checking myself because I'm a doorman, because, you know, I don't want nobody to say, yo, animal, you got bad breath or something, you know. So I always...
Who would dare say that to you?
My brother.
Because there are people that you work with around you all the time. And as you well know, being the director of security here for the team, one of the things that we specify is that you can't carry around all that stuff. Again, when we work, I call it the disco submarine. That's the tour bus, okay? And then the disco sub, you're compressed, man. It's like a spaceship. It's like an aircraft frame or something like that. Same thing with where we're working right now. This is like the business end of the space shuttle. Actually, it's like the engine room of the space. Throw another chair on the fire there, Hutch. We talked earlier with somebody about gasohol and the car that burns Kentucky Fried Chicken. I wonder if you can burn bad breath.
Wow. That's diesel fuel, man. You can probably crank a rocket ship with that, man.
Because if you fart, that's like nitrogen or something, isn't it?
Right.
Methane or something like that. Oh, really? You know, there are certain parts of the world where the diet really contributes to that. You know, there's a huge hole in the ozone layer because of certain dietary preoccupations. I'm absolutely convinced of this. I've had certain friends who reek that stuff. And isn't bad breath the same thing? Can you bottle it? If you run out of fried chicken, can you just like blow into the pipe, get an extra 2 kilometers out of it? You know who called in? You know who emailed in? Is our old friend Ted Nugent, who has his television show on the Outdoor Network, you know, and so forth. And we'll talk about that. I saw an episode last night. But he emailed in after hearing our episode on, you know, the fellow who called in and shared with us. He wrote the book about the car, you know, and what it burns. Evidently, he drove across the United States with a car that literally burns fried chicken grease, oil, you know, cooking oil, etc. And I wouldn't be surprised if Nugent's got one. I wouldn't be surprised if his tour bus works on it. I wouldn't be surprised if he's actually involved in some way. We should get him to call in and see if he can pick up on that. Anyways, coming up at 9 o'clock in the studio, New York Post relationship columnist Elizabeth Haight. And that's Elizabeth Haight, HAYT.com. She's coming in at 9, and she's going to talk about bad breath, baby. You're going to love this. Here's an email. Comes from Lake Toxaway. Okay, this is from Daryl. This is Dave. I just read about the defense attorney for Enron getting a complaint from one of the female jurors about his cologne. It was so offensive, it made her gag. I would love to know everyone's thoughts on favorite scents. How much is too much? Wouldn't hurt to ask Liz Haight what her thoughts are on the matter. Yeah. All the rest is compliments here. What do you think? Do you wear perfume, Sash?
Normally, yeah, I do.
You wear a lot?
No, not a lot. A couple sprays. Actually, I wear the Paris Hilton perfume.
Ooh, why did you choose that?
I don't know. It's just a great scent. It's subtle. It's really nice. I love it.
Because when you think of subtlety, you think of Paris Hilton?
Yes. No, not at all. It's surprisingly really smells good. I was surprised.
I think
by
I just got 6 answers in one phrase there. Okay, let's start again, darling. When you think of subtlety, you think of Paris Hilton.
I don't.
Good girl.
No.
Because I didn't think you were attempting to be subtle at all.
Never subtle.
Never. What's the name of Paris Hilton's?
It's just called Paris Hilton, of course.
No, really? Paris Hilton,
yeah.
Of course?
No, it's just called Paris Hilton.
Of course, it's so positive. Maybe we could get, you know, I think Paris Hilton would have one called Why Not. You could even say it in French, Pourquoi pas? Or in Spanish, Por qué no? I'd buy that. In fact, I'm wearing Why Not right now. And right now is the next cousin to.
Okay.
First, you wear Why Not. And a fella gets lucky, and then you can put on a little right now. How much does Paris Hilton perfume cost you? How much do you get for how much you wet?
I don't know
perfume. I'm just struggling here, sweetie. Help me out. Hutch has given up. Lead the way. Come on, kid. Come on. It's a holiday, sugar. Knock it off. Stop.
I don't know. It's a medium-sized bottle.
Darling,
like
they can't
bucks.
See. This is radio. You can't show it with your hands.
I
you
don't
can
know
show
how
me.
Many ounces it was. It's like as big as
what are you
microphone.
Pointing at? How many ounces what?
The perfume bottle was. It's like as big as the microphone, and it was like $40.
What are you pointing at, Sasha? Are we still on the same subject?
I think so.
Turn her microphone off here. Okay, let's start again. How much do you get for all that's wet? Here you go.
I don't know how many ounces it is. It's like a medium. It's like as big as a water bottle.
Which water bottle? Like that one? Okay. That whole thing?
A little bit smaller than that. That's like really, it's long.
That's like a hair conditioner thing. So it's a phallic symbol that you bought.
It is a phallic symbol that I bought.
Okay. Well, that falls in line with Paris Hilton. And what does it smell like? Does it smell any like anything in particular? Is it like... Listen to that sound. Just That's better than words, darling. For the remainder of the afternoon. If you could just make that sound...
Bottle that up and sell it.
They're going to slide off the Naga hide out there. Major ratings if you keep that sound going. Does that sound come with the perfume?
No.
Oh. And it's called Paris Hilton, of course.
No, just Paris Hilton. Just, I was just saying, of course, because why would she even name her perfume? And
because you're a poet, that's why.
I am. I'm a thinker.
A deep thinker like me, huh? Okay, how much does this cost you? How much does it cost to smell lovely?
It probably cost about $40.
$40? And how many applications do you have? That sounds slightly veterinary, but how many applications would you actually have from something like this?
In total, or how much do I put on, like...
Like how many times? Do you put it on, like, once a week? You put it on every day?
I put it on every day when I leave.
Okay, and how many weeks' worth do you get out of one bottle?
I'm not too sure yet. So far, I've had it since Christmas, and it's not even halfway done.
Okay, well, let's say if you're dating a Jewish guy, you might get 40 applications, right? If you're dating a Puerto Rican guy, you might get 20. See where I'm going? It could be community sensitive. You know, there are certain communities where certain people wear a lot more fragrance, a lot more scent. For example, Kelly Clarkson would wear a different amount of Paris Hilton, of course, than Fantasia would. You got to agree with that, right?
Sure.
Okay. Now, how many applications would you get compared to Fantasia?
Compared to Fantasia?
Oh, yeah, darling. Come on. This is abstract humor.
I would probably get about 50 applications,
and
she
would get half as many, right?
Probably.
Okay, well, that's a tribal thing, you know? That's like in each community, it varies. Animal, tell me if I'm correct. Different communities of people apply different amounts of stink. Is that not true?
That's right, man. I can been in some places so bad, I'm talking, you can even hold your breath and still smell it, man. It's just how bad it was.
And you know when you go into the striptease? We went over to Scores the other night on Friday night, and it's like airborne napalm. Oh, yeah. You know, whatever that is, I think it's called barn door. Red door, bad slip. Really, it's called O de do da day. No, really, it'll make your eyes water. And I can understand because the girls are working hard. We do 4 hours standing up here. I change my shirt 3 times. You keep looking at me like that, I'll get up to 4 or 5 times.
But, Dave, the worst smell is when a girl is musty and then she try to cover the smell with her cologne and then she want to dance for you. Wow.
Yeah, but...
Now that's an eye-opener and a nose
burner. It's called eye roasting. It's retina burning. You at that point, you begin to pay for her to go.
Yeah, here you go. Get your money. Go.
It's an unconscious thing, but now I almost expect it. I'm not done. No, I don't expect it. I know it's going to be there, and I look forward to it. It's like I've adapted to the pain threshold or something there, because you can smell it a block away at any striptease club. Do you know the names of the favorite striptease perfumes, Sash?
No, I do not.
Look, she sounds nervous.
I'm intrigued.
I wonder what they are. I really wonder what the actual names are, because they're very specific. I think Opium is one of them, and I think the other one is called Red Door. Okay, I've had enough experience with this, that those are the two preferred ones. I'm going to wonder what Elizabeth Tate's got to say about this. We always kick off with one subject, okay, and it dovetails neatly into complete chaos. She's coming in at 9. In aviation, we call it, we splash it. In helicopters, we call it falling out of the sky. And we'll be falling out of the sky with Elizabeth at 9 o'clock over the subject of bad breath. Give me a toothbrush here.
David Lee Roth, mornings.